Minority in Parliament slams Ghana-US deportation deal, describing it as unconstitutional and demands immediate suspension by government, serving notice of possible legal action soon.
We just want the right thing to be done.
Will you go to court?
The minority will take that decision. Please speak now. My way, I've heard a few people have been made attempts to court, instruct their lawyer to go to court on this matter. Minority will take a decision.
We have details as they also warn of grave diplomatic challenge for Ghana over breach of non-alliance policy when the foreign minister went all out to condemn Israel in the ongoing war with Palestine.
By describing the events in Gaza in absolute terms and aligning the country explicitly with one side in a highly polarized conflict, the government risked compromising the delicate balance that has long safeguarded Ghana's credibility as an impartial actor on the international stage.
More on this in the next 30 minutes here on Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel Connect and Energies, and also by Shield Pension Trust, into the future with you. Tonight, the minority in Parliament is up in arms against Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa, accusing him of breaching the 1992 Constitution and disregarding parliamentary oversight by signing a deportation deal with the United States without consulting lawmakers. This agreement has made Ghana a transit point for West African nationals deported from the U.S., sparking intense debate back home. Now, Ghana received 14 West African deportees from the U.S., including Nigerians and Gambians, who were later sent to their countries of origin. Minister Okudzeto-Ablakwa confirms 40 more deportees are expected in the country soon. 11 of the initial 14 deportees sued Ghana over human rights violations, though their case was dismissed. But today, the minority has weighed in on the matter, warning that Ghana may suffer severe diplomatic problem with other countries if we continue to accept deportees from the United States of America. We'll hear from them shortly, but first, listen to the justification of Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa when he spoke at the government accountability series 9 days ago.
Our decision is grounded purely on humanitarian principle and pan-African solidarity. To offer temporary refuge where needed, to prevent further human suffering, and to maintain our credibility as a responsible regional actor. Ghana's decision must be understood as an act of pan-African empathy. It is not transactional. Like Rwanda, Eswatini, Uganda, South Sudan, who are welcoming fellow Africans, we are standing up for our brothers and sisters in distress. And this should not be misconstrued as an endorsement of the immigration policies of the Trump administration.
Well, we can now hear from the ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee of Parliament, Samuel Abu-Jinapo, who says the agreement must be halted immediately because it does not only breach the Constitution, but also flies in the face of the Supreme Court.
We are also shocked by the Honorable Minister's claim that the Honorable Attorney General advised Cabinet that this agreement does not require parliamentary approval. The Attorney General of the Republic was a Deputy Attorney General when the decision in the Bamford case was delivered by the Supreme Court. He cannot therefore feign ignorance about this case and purport to give a legal opinion, which therefore contradicts the decision of the Supreme Court, if indeed he did. The opinion of the United States Attorney General, if it was indeed given, is of no consequence in our country, as both the constitutional provision and the Supreme Court decision are very clear. Indeed, the Supreme Court held in the Bamford case that the distinction in the United States between executive agreements, which does not require the approval of Congress, and treaties, which require such approval, are not applicable in Ghana in the light of the clear constitutional provision in Article 75. The government's conduct in operationalizing the agreement with the United States without parliamentary ratification is a direct constitutional violation of Article 75 and an affront to the authority of the Supreme Court. It is therefore deeply concerning that the government continues to operationalize the agreement with the United States despite these flagrant constitutional breaches. Such conduct reflects a lack of respect for the rule of law, which is one of the fundamental pillars of our constitutional democracy. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, beyond this blatant constitutional breach, the agreement raises pressing concerns of sovereignty, security, and policy. While regional integration remains a core value of our foreign policy, it cannot be stretched to justify the forced deportation of foreign nationals deported from other countries. The ECOWAS Protocol on Free Movement concerns voluntary travel, not forced deportations orchestrated by a non-ECOWAS state. On the international stage, the foreign policy consequences of this agreement are equally alarming. Ghana has, over the years, built a proud reputation for principled diplomacy rooted in non-alignment, regional solidarity, and respect for human rights. The decision to serve as a receiving point for West African deportees against their wishes with emphasis from the United States risks our country being perceived as aligning itself with the United States government's current immigration enforcement regime, one which has been criticized as harsh and discriminatory. To associate Ghana with such policies could have several negative implications for our country, particularly within the African continent. We therefore reiterate our call on the government to suspend with immediate effect the unconstitutional implementation of this agreement until Parliament has duly exercised its constitutional mandate to scrutinize same and ratify it or otherwise. We further urge government to provide full clarity on the processes, safeguards, and other broader implications associated with receiving these deportees, including the measures, if any, that have been taken to protect Ghana's security interests, Ghana's foreign policy, and the Gaza conflict.
Another matter of interest has been government's condemnation of Israel in the ongoing war with Gaza. Samuel Abujinapo says the posture violates the non-alliance policy of the country and could result in serious diplomatic problems for Ghana.
By describing the events in Gaza in absolute terms and aligning the country explicitly with one side in a highly polarized conflict, the government risks compromising the delicate balance that has long safeguarded Ghana's credibility as an impartial actor on the international stage. Our tradition has been to call for peace, dialogue, and adherence to international law without issuing declarations that may prejudice our ability to play a mediating or bridge-building role. Successive governments have, over decades, interpreted and applied these principles by maintaining a posture of independence and impartiality in international conflicts. It is therefore crucial, ladies and gentlemen of the press, that in responding to this conflict, Ghana's official statements continue along this tradition, speaking clearly to the need for peace, the protection of civilians, and adherence to international law, by doing so in a manner that avoids the perception of taking sides in a very deeply divisive conflict. The minority caucus wishes to emphasize that Ghana's enduring strength in international relations has always come from its ability to maintain independence, neutrality, and credibility, even when global powers have sought to draw us into their competing blocs. Departures from this tradition, if not checked, could diminish our moral authority on the international stage and compromise our wider national interests. We therefore call on the government to exercise caution and be consistent in articulating Ghana's foreign policy positions, particularly on sensitive international conflicts, such as the Gaza conflict. The government must ensure that Ghana's position reflects our long-standing commitment to non-alignment, multilateralism, and principled diplomacy, rather than hasty or unilateral declarations. Calm, measured, and nuanced diplomacy is essential for the conduct of our foreign policy in general and for addressing volatile situations such as the current conflict in particular.
Well, this is Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, Connecting Energies, and also by Shield Pension, Trust into the Future with you. Now, let's do more on this particular subject by bringing in Nana Safo Ejeyi. He's Deputy Ranking on the Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration Committee of Parliament, and also MP for Bosome. Grateful to you for joining us here. Now, you say that these actions taken on by the government have serious implications for us. What exact implications will the country suffer? Okay, we've lost Nana Safo Ejeyi there. We'll bring him again. Let's we have Asafo Ejeyi back, I'm told. Do we still have you, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. So I wanted to find out from you exactly the sort of implications that Ghana could suffer because of the actions taken by government.
So, if you could recall, affected individuals, we do not know what arrangement they have with this country or what is it that is inherent, the so-called memorandum of understanding that brought them here. And if we don't take the same humanitarian grounds for which we accepted to take Nigerians when their own countries decided not to take them, the same humanitarian grounds that made us take the Gambians, that even Gambia rejected their own, will be the same humanitarian grounds these same people will level some accusations against this country. That is important, we must note. Again, you see, for the fact that the country is calling on the government to make this document transparent, available to Parliament, the representation of the people, so that we can and won't give the full ratification to the government, so that should anything happen, there is an insulation to the government that Parliament has ratified and you have the full support of the people in whatever agreement or whatever arrangement you have taken. And if you do not do so, it means that to something happen, the country cannot be insulated of anything. And these are some of the critical things. And we, the minority, feel that this government should be the first person that will make us go through this conversation. Because they have a precedent. And the precedent is clear. And for us, the minority, we made reference to the precedent. That, look, the ruling was clear. It said it doesn't matter how the arrangement is out. It doesn't matter the nomenclature, whether it is a love letter, whether it is a November, whatever it is, so far as it places an obligation on the good people of Ghana, it must come to Parliament.
Let me now bring in an example we've had in the past, the Gitmo 2. I mean, during that time, we were speculating that it could have some negative impact on the country. It never did. So why should we be afraid that taking our own brothers from sister countries could then spell any sort of doom for the country?
So are you now telling us that because we are not afraid, the constitution must not be obeyed, or we must not go according to the tenet of the constitution because you are not afraid?
That's not my focus. I mean, I'm basing on the fact that you say there could be some implications for this country because their home countries
I am saying that. Be clear on the point. We are basing on a certain humanitarian grounds.
Mm-hmm.
The minority is not against it. We are only saying that validate that basis on humanitarian grounds so that you will be insulated, so that a future government will not also bind the country under any arrangement with the notion or hide under a certain name or nomenclature that, hey, this is an MOU, this is a correspondent, or this is just a note verbal, or this is a love letter. No, there must, future government must be born to Trump president. And we believe that this government, one, they have the numbers. So they do not even have any cause of worry. Mm. And the minority is not set out to frustrate them.
Okay.
We are only trying to get them to do what is right.
I get your point now. Yeah, I get your point that due process should have been followed. Now, we understand that 40 more deportees are on their way. What will you do to avert this if the foreign minister doesn't hold the process? Because you say that due process means it has to come to parliament.
Yeah, your point well, please.
I'm asking that we understand that 40 more deportees are on their way. So what will you do to avert this if the foreign affairs minister doesn't halt the process? Because as we understand now, that has not been sent to parliament. Not so.
So, first and foremost, you did not even know that the minority will come out with the presser today. So we have asked the government. We believe, like we were told, this is a listening government. So we believe that the listening government will listen and sit back, look at it again, and then make some adjustment and bring the MOU or whatever it is to parliament. If it doesn't happen and it continues, the same way the minority communicated to you today, you would hear our next line of action.
Okay, now you have an option to drag him before the Supreme Court and pray the court to cite him for contempt. Will you explore that?
Don't worry, it is not for us to discuss it now. What we are telling you is that when it doesn't happen that they come to parliament or they do the needful, the next line of action will be communicated to you.
Do stay with me because we have to explore the legal, the Israel angle as well. But let me bring in Joseph Kumar. He is member of the Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration and MP for Kintampo North. Joseph, I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining. Now, you've had the minority there. Why did the minister fail in the first place to do the needful if he is enjoined by the laws of this country to send that particular, whether it's MOU or a no verbal, to the House for them to approve before that is done?
Well, let me take this opportunity to thank your listeners and from my brother Safwaji for being on your screen or whatever. I know Parliament is on recess, and if possibly the government sees the need to save a situation, why not? The government of Ghana has legal brains, not excluding the Attorney General and others, the Council of State and others who advise the government. And so knowledgeable is our Foreign Affairs Minister. I'm sure certain consultations might have gone on before allowing these deportees down. What does Ghana stand for in all this? We keep quoting our founders, especially late Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, saying that the independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it is linked to the total liberation of Africa. So if Africans are hot somewhere, they can't find their feet, and we open our arms for them to come home. Why not?
Well, as much as
I agree with you
that that was the vision of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, do you also believe that we are a country governed by rules or laws? Do you believe that?
Why not?
So if you believe we are governed by laws, why, because of the interest of, say, we are integrating the continent, put aside your law, when you know the law says, or the law enjoins you, to take such a matter to parliament for an agreement before you agree to it?
That's why I'm saying, if it is an issue of emergency, definitely the government is advised accordingly. And if there is the need, that there is no window of opportunity, why they should accept them. The government will explain later to us.
But I'm not sure
this will be something that...
Is it the case that these issues are an emergency ones?
In actual fact, I have not followed this issue much because I've been more in my constituency. However, I have listened to news, I've listened to the foreign affairs minister speak to it, said Ghana hadn't taken any money or had not signed any MOU for monetary purpose or compensation purpose, among other things. And so, for it to look like, why are they doing something like that without parliamentary approval, I'm yet to understand where the minority is coming from.
Well, you are on that committee. We are being told that 40 more of these deportees are on their way. Will your committee insist upon the minister to halt the process and wait for parliament to ratify this before he goes ahead to do what he has to do?
Rightly so, now that this is coming up, and the minority, I'm sorry, Safoje is part of the committee. I think some of these things, do we need to rush to the media? You can raise it on the committee platform, and then we talk to it. The chairman's attention will be brought to it. And aside that, Parliament, a 15-member petition committee, can call Parliament to come to even engage on anything.
Will you insist upon the minister to halt the process and come wait for Parliament to ratify first?
Well, I'm yet to understand the whole process, but that's why I began by saying the minister cannot air that much if there was no window of opportunity. And so is the government, because the government has the Attorney General and other very knowledgeable legal brains to advise the government, not excluding the council estate.
Okay, I'll come back to you and Asafoje, but let me bring in Professor Vladimir Chudan. So he is an international relations expert. Prof, you have two sides here. The question that lingers is, are we really at the risk of having frictions with our West African neighbors who have refused to directly receive their people for reasons known best to them?
How it is handled? Let me say good evening to your cherished listeners. The point is this, that in diplomacy, you tread a very cautious line so that you don't injure your relationship with other countries. In this case, yes, the government is talking about empathy. On sympathetic grounds, we want them so that they don't fall into some injuries in the form of mistreatment in America, which is very good. They are West African nationals. If they were coming on their own, they didn't need a visa. They didn't need anything. They just walk in. So we have done well. But the point, have we done well for the good of themselves, those we are taking in, and of Ghanaians? That's the question I always ask. We must do things in such a way that we don't injure the persons we are helping or incur the displeasure of the countries where they come from. If you don't handle them well, countries are going to be angry with us. Already I hear some of them have taken us to court because they have no obligations to us. They haven't asked that we take them and things like that. So this is the crux of the matter. Secondly, Ghana is not a monist country. Monism is where when your president or any minister goes out there and signs any agreement, it becomes binding on the state. We are a dualist country. I think it's in Article 75 or so. So every small agreement, be it on agree with Burkina Faso, agree or something with Iran, must pass through parliament. Then it means we own that kind of agreement, that kind of treaty that we have signed. And I'm surprised because we have had a bad image before. We took in the Guantanamo Bay criminals, and it brought big problems for Ghana. At the time that we said, okay, America can come for them because of the agreement, they said, no, sorry, your own country hasn't ratified them. They didn't get a third country to take them. So they are now Ghanaians. My taxpayers' money is being used to look after them. These are some of the things we need to be very careful about in international relations.
Okay. So
why couldn't Nigeria or America seek audience with Nigeria to bring their own nationals to them, Gambians and whatever?
So
we're very, very careful about these things.
So if I understand, it means government violated the laws of this country in accepting this without parliament, right?
One way or the other, yes, it depends on how we look at it. They have a right to sign any agreement. Nobody quarrels with them. But they are obliged, when they have signed an obligation on us, to also let our representatives accept it on our behalf. You know, the next question is, we are saying we took them on the side of empathy. I mean, it's like compassionate grounds. I agree. Compassion is with everybody, every country. But watch it. The president himself veered off onto a certain line. In diplomacy, you don't give anything without expecting anything. It is a cardinal principle. And the president himself gave himself out, veered off by talking about tariffs that were splashed on us, 10%, then it went to 15%. And then he veered off again by talking about visas that have been given, 5-year visas that have been cancelled. Where that came from, I don't know. But it sounded like, this is the reason why we also wanted to take them.
Okay.
For me, you don't give anything out in diplomacy without expecting anything. It's absolutely a non-starter.
All right. I'm grateful to you, Prof, for joining us here. Nanasa for JIA, let me come back to you. Now, you are taking on the minister for his stance for criticizing Israel on the attack in Gaza. How different is this from former President Akufo-Addo's stance on Russia for its invasion in Ukraine?
But can I please make this point before we quickly move to there? You see,
if you can do it for me in 20 seconds, I'll be happy.
When the majority makes the point that the committee or some of these things should come to the committee and it shouldn't go on air or we shouldn't rush to the media, I'm surprised. The president announced this thing on media. The minister went to the media to discuss it. He didn't recognize the committee, which you are a member of. The minister didn't recognize it. You, a member of the committee, didn't raise this point on the committee. I vote to respond, or minority vote to speak on it. Minority should now come to the committee or come to the platform of the committee. What kind of logic is this? So please, when the issues come, the majority should be proactive. The same way when Washington embassy was closed down, we requested for the documents, the report upon which the house was closed.
All right.
The majority came to do a press conference against our request.
Okay.
Up to now, we don't even have the report. We don't even know what report the minister based on to take the decision and action he took.
I'm grateful.
Can you be on record that we are not against any humanitarian rights. When Ghana wants to be Father Christmas, we are not against it. What we are saying is that the due process must be done. And you should hear my colleague clearly. It could not even grasp the case or give the issues. It appears he did not even understand what we are discussing. That they have big preliminary, they have people who can advise them. I struggle to really understand what the point he's making.
Okay, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Nanasa for JIA is Deputy Ranking Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration Committee of Parliament. Earlier, you had Joseph Kuma. He is member of the same committee, and Professor Vladimir Entry Danso. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telcel Connecting Energies and also by Short Pension, Trust into the Future with you. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Thanks for listening. Up next is Newsnight.